morning, everyone, on this, the seventh Sunday of our Easter season and the Sunday before Pentecost. If you're watching or listening for the first time, you are very welcome. I'm Gillian, the Minister of the Scotskirk in Lausanne, and we are today delighted to be able to say that we're planning to be in our church building for the next Sunday service, the 31st of May, Pentecost Sunday. Of course, things are going to have to be a little different for a while, but we will send out guidelines as to how we will go about keeping us all safe at the beginning of this week. And we will continue to provide some kind of online worship as well as we go through this transition period. In the meantime, we've come to worship God, and we begin, as we did last week, with some verses from the Psalms. I hope you have a copy of the psalm that I sent out to you. If not, you've just got time to grab your Bible, and it's Psalm 66. We read a little portion of it last week, and we're going to read a little more this week. And if you would please join in with every alternate verse. It's Psalm 66, reading from verse 1 to the end of verse 9. So please join in with the alternate verses. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds! Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. Sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. Our first hymn today is 502 in the hymn book. It was written by Frances Ridley Havergal, an English religious poet and hymn writer. She also wrote children's books and various religious tracts. Her epiphany came when she read the book All for Jesus, after which she said that her life had been lifted into the light. Sadly, she died at the young age of 42 after contracting peritonitis, but during her short life she visited Switzerland, among other places, on a number of occasions. Take my life and let it be consecrated, glad and free. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. God now in our opening prayers, and so let us pray together. Lord, we look to the heavens, longing to know the full seasons of your kingdom. We look to the heavens, longing to know the heights and depths of your steadfast loving kindness. We look to the heavens, longing to know that you are God, and that we are yours, and that in the end all shall be well. Yet you hold the fullness of the seasons, for you are the true depths of love, and only in you shall all finally be well. Turn our heads from too much stargazing, and turn our hearts from too much navel-gazing, that we might be present to resurrection life right before us. Remind us that any love of infinite power will never overcome the power of infinite love. Fill us with such resurrection power that in our love and even in our doubt, we might give witness to the mystery of your kingdom and the healing of your love. in the name of the resurrected and ascended Jesus Christ. Amen. A word to the children. Today we're going to hear about Jesus saying a prayer to his Father God about saying goodbye to those people that he loved. So I wonder if you can think about some of the people that you've had to say goodbye to over the last few weeks. Maybe you've had to say goodbye to your friends at school. Maybe you've had to say goodbye to your grandparents or your neighbours or people that you haven't been able to mix with or talk to or eat with or play with over the last little while. Or maybe you've moved here to Switzerland and you had to say goodbye to very, very good friends. It's not an easy thing to do, but nowadays we're very, very lucky because we can often see these people again. We can travel to visit them. We can go on a plane or a train or a bus or a car. We will be going back to school. Some of you, in fact, have gone back to school and we'll be going back to church and we'll be able to see all of our friends again. We can see them on Zoom or on our telephones or on Facebook. So really, we're very, very fortunate people. For those people we've had to say goodbye to, we've only had to say goodbye to them for a little while. So today I would like you to think about the people that you've had to say goodbye to and how you've missed them and how they've missed you. And pray for them and remember them and write down their names and maybe draw a picture. And we can have a look at all these lovely pictures when you come back to visit us. And we'll be very pleased that we haven't said goodbye forever. We've just said goodbye for a little while. And so let's come to God with a prayer. God, help us to pray, not just with words, but with our lives. Help us to understand, not just to hear or to perceive, but to understand within our hearts what is the depth of your love, the grace of your Son, the call of our lives, and the assurance of your goodness. Help us to be grateful for all those people who make our lives special. And today we pray for them and give you thanks for all that they have given us. Amen. Our next hymn was written using a prayer attributed to St. Francis as inspiration. The author was Sebastian Temple, who was a leading light in the folk mass movement following the Second Vatican Council. He grew up in South Africa, but went to the UK to work for the BBC. This hymn is probably his most famous. He died in 1997. And it's hymn 528. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there's injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Gospel reading will be read for us by Vicky Sikora.
The readings for this morning are taken from from John chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. And I have decided to read from the Message this morning. Jesus said these things. Then, raising his eyes in prayers, he said, Father, it's time. Display the bright splendor of your Son, so the Son in turn may show your bright splendor. You put him in charge of everything human, so he might give real and eternal life to all in his charge. And this is the real and eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with your very own splendor, the very splendor I had in your presence before there was a world. I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place. Then you gave them to me, and they have now done what you said. They know now, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them, and they took it and were convinced that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those you gave me, for they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours, and yours mine, and my life is on display in them. For I'm no longer going to be visible in the world. They'll continue in the world while I return to you. Holy Father, guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me, so they can be one heart and mind, as we are one heart and mind. Here ends the reading for today.
What we've just heard is Jesus' prayer to his Father as he prepares to leave behind those people he loves and knows will miss him terribly. And so we will follow his example and begin with a prayer too. Let us pray. Creator God, we listen to Jesus' prayer and we remember how he loved those he had been with on earth. We give thanks today that because of his resurrection and ascension, we can all be with him in a new and mysterious way. Help us when we don't understand. Help us when our faith is low. Help us to renew that faith every moment of every day until we meet again with him. Be with us in our thoughts today and bless us in the name of the ascended Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour and friend. Amen. And so we begin with a short reflection on that reading. Look at them, those that were given to me, my followers, my disciples, my students, some looking at me with furrowed brows, the gaze of admiration from one, the confusion of another, some looking at the ground, and all waiting, bar one. Off to carry out what he believes to be right. Father, the hour has come. It has come, all right, the point of no return, no turning back. But are they ready for it? Do they realise yet what this means? Have they understood what it means for them, an eternity of expectation? And it comes to this and to them. I have made your name known. The restrictions of incarnation. I could only be in one place at a time with these people in this place, in this time. But it will be enough. For from tiny little seeds, big things can grow. And I have planted those seeds deep in their souls. They may not realize it yet, but they will. They will. Holy Father, protect them. May they know how much we love them, how much we care for them, how much we expect from them, how much we hope in them, and keep them safe because it's not going to be easy. They've seen that to a degree. They know it in their heads, but they're really going to see it tomorrow when I will start to make my journey back to you. Holy Father, hear my prayer. Saying goodbye is never easy for any of us when we're leaving people we love. And life seems to be a series of goodbyes. In past times, when people moved away from their place of birth, if they went any further than a fairly short distance, then it really was goodbye. Not just see you next time, but goodbye forever. I think of those slaves that were wrenched from home and family in Western Africa and taken to strange shores, never to see their homeland again and never to hear from their families, forever lost to them. Those who know Scottish history will know of the event called the Clearances, when people were sent away from the places they and their ancestors had inhabited and farmed for centuries. Many of them went to the countries of the so-called New World, Australia, Canada, New Zealand. Most of them never returned. A great many of them died. It really was goodbye. My own parents planned in the early 1960s to go to Australia on what was called the £10 ticket. They planned it all, but then after persuasion from my grandparents, who were distraught at the thought of never seeing any of us again, they decided to stay. In fact, the world changed so rapidly in the years after that, that it was unlikely the goodbye would have been forever. In recent times, we've had several family visits from cousins in Australia, and we keep in touch now regularly via social media. And in the last few weeks during our so-called lockdown, I've been able to do all sorts of things, even some premarital counselling with a young couple, one of them here in Switzerland and the other in New Zealand. Although they're separated by time and space, they can spend hours every day in contact via Zoom. It is, of course, different for those who have to leave their home for political or economic or safety reasons and who find themselves in a strange land having to start all over again. My heart goes out to them. I cannot imagine what that sort of goodbye feels like. Some years ago, we got to know a young asylum seeker who'd fled northern Nigeria in fear of her life. She had to leave behind her twin daughters of 8 and all of the rest of her family. She knew and believed that the children would be safe, but she had no way of checking that out or of getting in touch with them. No phone calls, no letters, no Zoom or Skype contact. She was deeply traumatized when we met her. But in time, she managed to start to think about what she would do. Her plan was to help others, to study and become a nurse. She prayed every day for her family, but knew in her heart that seeing them again was very unlikely. Jesus was afraid for those he was leaving behind. His loving human heart asked his heavenly Father in this prayer to care for them, to keep them safe until they can be together again. That earthly goodbye for Jesus and his disciples was horrific. It was seemingly very final in the most terrible of ways. Their mixed emotions at his resurrection appearances proved that they had never really understood the enormity of who he was. Their fear, their doubt, their joy, their hope, their love came together, and they looked to him for explanations and direction, only to have him leave them again. Can you just imagine what that must have felt like? What comfort is it to someone who's lost a dear one to be told, "Don't worry, God's got this, you will see them again, he's promised." It is one thing to see and believe with the eyes of faith, but quite a different feeling when we're lost and lonely and sad and yearning for the physical presence of someone we love. During these last long weeks, so many people have gone through the loss of someone they loved, and for some there was no chance to say their goodbyes. How do we comfort them? How do we talk to those who are hurting? What can we do for those we know? What can we do for those many that we don't know? We can do what Jesus did when there was nothing else left to do. We too are left with prayer to a God we cannot see, but who has given us, each one, the gift of faith. The greatest gift of all, given through the Holy Spirit in love by Jesus, the man who knew that we could not manage this loss without that gift. Let's end with a poem by George MacDonald, one of my favourite theologians. I missed him when the sun began to bend. I found him not when I had lost his rim. With many tears I went in search of him, climbed high mountains which did still ascend, and gave me echoes when I called my friend. Through cities vast and charnel houses grim, and high cathedrals where the light was dim, through books and arts and works without end, but found him not, the friend whom I had lost. And yet I found him, as I found the lark, a sound in fields I heard but could not mark. I found him nearest when I missed him most. I found him in my heart, a life in frost, a light I knew not, until my soul was dark. Let us pray. Lord our God, thank you for being with us in this time of trial, in this dark time. Thank you for the gift of faith that will wait for us, that will help us, that will hold us up when all seems lost, that will be closest when we feel it least. Bless us now with your love and care, and surround us with that greatest gift of all, the love and protection of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Prayers of the people this week will be led by Cathy Fitzsimmons.
Good morning. The second part of these prayers comes from the Church of Scotland website. Let us pray. Dear Father, in spite of these troubling times, or indeed because of them, we realize just how blessed we are. We thank you for our dear friends, families, and church family, and ask that you keep them all safe and well. We are grateful that we live in such a privileged and beautiful country. More than ever, we appreciate that we have access to food, shelter, good health care, and the opportunity to enjoy every day the lakes, mountains, and countryside at our doorstep. Help us to be ever mindful of those who live where the virus is raging, who live in places of unrest, who are homeless, lonely, without a job. Please bring them peace, health, well-being, and prosperity. Grant that we also learn from these difficult times, not to return to the way things were before, but to use the lessons learned in order to take better care of each other, of ourselves, and of our planet. Lord, we pray for our congregation and for neighboring congregations in our presbytery. Bless all those who minister in whatever capacity. Send your Spirit, we pray, to revive and renew your church. Lord, we pray for our community, the community you've called us to serve. We bring before you those who are suffering and struggling, those who are lost and lonely, those who see no light at the end of the tunnel. Lord, we pray for our nation, for those who are in positions of responsibility and authority. Guide them and grant them wisdom, that their leading might be according to your will, and always with the greater good in mind. Lord, for our world we pray. In all its brokenness and pain, where there is hatred, we look for love. Where there is pain, we look for healing. Where there is division, we look for unity. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and we commit ourselves to working for the coming of your kingdom. All our prayers we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Of course, we cannot receive your offering physically, but it's not just a share of our worldly goods that we offer to our God, but our very selves. So let us dedicate all that we are and all that we have to his work in the world by saying together the Lord's Prayer. Now please use whichever version is most familiar to you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So just before our final hymn, just to remind you, those of you on email will receive a short survey so that we can gauge how many of you will want to worship with us physically next Sunday. We can then decide what to do as regards services, so please fill it in as quickly as you can and send it back to Janet. I will be sending out a letter too that will explain how we intend to abide by the social distancing regulations and keep everyone safe. There will be a children's programme next week with crafts in the hall, allowing for plenty of space, and we will continue with online worship in some form, certainly in the short term. Our closing hymn this morning is 531, My Jesus, My Saviour, a modern hymn written by Darlene Skesh, a young Australian Pentecostal worship leader. My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love, my comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. So now go in God's love, and may the blessing of Almighty God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit go with you all. Amen. Please join us if you can for our Zoom coffee and chat, and also for our Sunday school at 11:30. So the coffee and chat's at 11:15 and the Sunday school is at 11:30. Thank you for joining us.